the new revolution in radio.
CyberStationUSA.com.
Americans are united in sending one message.
Goodwill to the people of this land.
I will do my best to represent my nation.
We have an election now. Really looks good.
This is the evolution of radio.
We are more integrated now than at any other point in the history of the human race.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
You are listening to a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. Any opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants and do not reflect the views of WRCT Radio Incorporated. Questions and comments can be addressed to the Public Affairs Director at pa@wrct.org or by calling 412-621-0728.
Live from WRCT Studios in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Hour, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Director of the AD99 Solution Foundation, Mr. Keith O'Donnell. Welcome to the show, Ms. O'Donnell.
Hi. Thank you.
Awesome. Yes, again.
Oh, sure. No problem. So, Ms. O'Donnell, what is the AD99 Solutions Foundation?
Happy you asked. So, AD99 Solutions Foundation is a 501c3 organization that is Pittsburgh-based, and we are we service different franchise youth in the area. We focus on providing youth with resources and opportunity. But I can go into it a little bit more depth as what programming looks like if you would like.
We'll definitely get to that. And I think that's it's a tremendous thing that's needed for sure. And I'm sure, Akita, you're so happy when Aaron told you about his idea, right, to start this foundation. Or was
Absolutely.
It or was it you that Absolutely. Came up with the idea? Tell me that little bit about that story.
So actually, Aaron came back to Pittsburgh from L.A., and he was speaking with his trainer, Dwayne Brown, from 210. And he said, what can we do to help the youth here? And that right there, that was the conception of the foundation. And from there, we just built upon it. But I'm super excited and proud of my brother for coming back to Pittsburgh and, you know, contributing to bettering the area and improving the quality of life for our youth.
Absolutely, for sure. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Dr. Hall, next question.
Wow, that's just incredible. So, Ms. Donald, why did Aaron choose education and athletics as his charitable platform?
Okay, good question. So I think the athletic piece is kind of obvious, right? One thing with any kind of organized sport, we really have, I would say my whole family has realized that it's more than just a game. There's so many different lessons, right? Even life lessons that come from organized sport. So that's why that focus was there. The education part is education is critical. You're going to need it. If in fact any of the youth do go on to become an NFL player, it's only what, like 4 years that these guys are playing, right? So what do you do afterwards? Education is really, really going to be beneficial for any career, right?
Yes.
And longevity. So that is, those are just two important things, education and athletics. Those are two really critical things for Aaron. And so, as you see, that's part of our programming.
I just completely, when I hear education, this is how my radio show started again on WRCT 88.3, 10 years ago as of in December, and kind of expanded to 150 plus stations, television, all these different things. What I have learned is I've always said life is about education. And as a former teacher and own a tutoring consulting company, I look at specifically enough how we educate our youth is such an important thing. I was part of the Extra Mile Foundation's tutoring program I ran back in the day with when I was teaching at St. Agnes, and it's tremendous, which now is with St. Benedict the More they merged. But I really see how important education is for areas of youth that just don't have what the affluent people have, Doctor.
Right.
And I know, Akita, you definitely agree with me. That's why you're part of this whole thing. But Dr. Hall, that's right. The thing that I see, as I talked about before, giving back, looking at specifically enough something, education, such an important thing. And it was an important lifestyle for you, Dr. Hall, to change and transform your life as well.
You're definitely right about that, Neil. And I can certainly relate to the young people that this foundation is benefiting. Myself coming from an underprivileged background and from Watts in California. And so this foundation is tremendous. And the work that Ms. Donald, as the director of this foundation, is doing is great.
Thank you.
All right, let's
go. Thank
you.
So what upcoming events are coming up for the foundation you can tell us about?
Okay, so our next event is for AZ 99 November weekend, and that is in celebration of Aaron returning to Pittsburgh with the LA Rams to play against. Guess who?
The Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, my.
Yes. So this is, like, super. This is amazing. I'm really, really looking forward to it. So we are kicking off a series of events that will be Friday through Sunday. We have two events that's actually open to the public, but we have, like, a cocktail hour. And we also have, like, a tailgate party. So, again, if anyone is interested, just go online and the details are there. In addition to that, we have quiz drive. One thing that the trainer kind of came to me and said, hey, I'm realizing there's not a lot of kids there's some kids who can't perform at their optimal just because they don't have cleats. And I think that's something that many of us overlook, you know. So to kind of combat that issue, the foundation, again, with our solution partners, we are going to have a cleat drive for the youth. We have our holiday toy drive coming up. So I really encourage everyone who would like to know what's going on with the foundation as far as with any of our upcoming social events, just simply go onto the website.
Okay, that's really great information, Akita. Who are you going to be rooting for? Are you Aaron, or do you want Aaron to do well, or are you a Steeler fan?
So I love the Steelers. I'm a Pittsburgh girl at heart. I always love the Steelers, but hands down, I am so rooting for the Rams.
Yay.
But again,
well, I'm from Los Angeles. I'm a Los Angeles.
Not a shocker, right? So yes, I'll be on the Rams section. Cheering for my brother.
What a perfect time for the foundation to then have this coming to Pittsburgh. So definitely people need to check those things. All right, that sounds fantastic. Well, again, great show, Dr. Hall. Thanks again, Akita, for calling, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you both.
You're listening to the Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. We're streaming live at WRCT.org. Hashtag WRCT when we get back. Some more great education talk. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Hour on WRCT 88.3 FM in Pittsburgh. And we're going to go ahead. I told you I was going to mix things up a little bit. Last week we mixed things up just because I had too much coffee. Not enough coffee. I was tired and I fell asleep, and it was the longest 45 minutes of my life. And I think I aired something involving security and education involving school bus safety to finish the show. And I said, you know what? We don't need to go an hour. if my old crew doesn't want to show up all the time, we'll come up with a heavy hitting topic that's worth its weight in gold that we could talk about on Facebook for an entire week and on all social media outlets. And it's the perfect thing. So I first want to welcome the program, Lee McNulty and Ed Temple. So I'm both of you guys. So Lee, thanks for calling again, joining us after a couple of weeks. And then Ed, it's so great that you've picked up the baton for the Total Education Hour in some of these segments. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for inviting me.
And Lee, always a pleasure. And I just feel for you when you talk about Paterson, New Jersey. I guess I'm not going to be liked in Paterson. Uh-huh. Am I, Lee?
Oh, I am so glad I am out of there.
Exactly. But see, this is something where the teacher has decided, and this is where I'm going to go to the topic tonight. Why are parents becoming the primary teacher? And, you know, I agree that we should be an important educator for our kids, but not involving all subjects, but life in general, manners, ethics, every of those types of things. That's our job as parents, to teach them that and teach them to become well-rounded, sports, other extracurricular activities, developing study skills. But our job as parents is not to teach a lesson, not to build skills. That's not our job. That's the job of an educator. And what has happened in our, I'd say through this common core garbage, is that they finally have decided teachers are no longer teachers, they're facilitators. And we're going to make it a team effort to teach the kid. No longer are we going to go and, you know, evaluate a teacher on how to teach a lesson and make sure that we master that concept. No, not anymore. It's going to be up to an entire team in a village. I guess that's a Hillary Clinton segment. A village, right, Ed? Am I on the right track and where they're trying to go?
Well, they just, I think what it comes down to, obviously we know Common Core is a nightmare that I can't find a person to agree with. But the other thing is they've, you know, the standards have been, the bar has been lowered. Although they'll get in front of the TV camera and say the rigor, we have all this rigor.
But oh, that's
reality is they're taking away, you know, the basic skills that we all have grown up learning, the memorization that you need to be able to do the deeper understanding things. You have to have those foundational deals that in many cases, even simple things like cursive writing. How in the heck can you read a historical document without cursive writing, without understanding how to read cursive writing? So they're taking away a lot of things that are used to be considered foundational. Now they're wiping away every foundation you can think of.
Exactly. What is your take, what I'm bringing up so far? And then you brought up some great things off air that I'd like you to share from what you've seen evidence wise by, you know, being a retired teacher who knows of kids in the school districts so far that are in other districts in where you live, and some of these stories you've been hearing.
Well, just like Ed said, you know, I agree with everything that Ed said, but you have a lot of parents that have no interest in their kids at all. And when it comes time to do their homework, they're not going to help them. And many times the kid is not going to do their homework. Then the teacher is stuck. Like, what do you do? It's really, to be truthful, the way I can explain it, politics and politicians have really ruined the public education system.
Yes.
The standards have been lowered beyond belief, and there's really, I can't even explain it. It's just, sometimes I wonder what's the point of going to school, because everybody's going to graduate and everybody's going to get a diploma no matter what, whether they do the work or not.
Okay, so an interesting, I Googled that, I agree, but one thing that you did bring up, Lee, that maybe you forgot about was about how the teacher now no longer, when they assign the homework, they assume that it's up to the parents to teach.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age. The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
The kids. That's the other thing you're seeing, Lee, and that's not the educator's
correct
fault.
I'm sorry, I did forget about that.
Yeah, go ahead. Kind of
yeah,
going. Go ahead. Sure.
I'm sorry. Just like you're saying, like I said, I had a friend of mine. The teacher didn't care about punctuation. Did not care about spelling, capitalization, and like the mother was going berserk and was calling the teacher up, calling the school. Says, what's going on here? And then they would tell him, it's up to you to check that. It's not our job anymore. And she goes, well, I don't understand this. And she wasn't the only person that has mentioned this to me as well.
And see, that's, I've heard it, and I'll give you an examples now, where if a kid didn't understand it in kindergarten, I know of a family I tutor, and they're a aide in the classroom, and they told me flat out that this kindergartner was struggling for the concept and said, oh, don't worry, Johnny, your parents will teach you how to do this. And here's the thing I'm going to put my hand on. I'm not in the classroom anymore. So you call me sour grapes, you call me anything. I'm the one that kind of probably is happy because I can expand what I'm doing in tutoring again because of how horrible Common Core has ruined education. At first it put it like, oh, it's easy. All these kids can do it. Then when the curriculum caught up with Common Core, that's when the problems happened. But the point I'm making is that the parent is forced to teach the student and say, okay, what is this garbage math class? What is this concept? Why are they teaching it this way? And why is my son or daughter not understand it? And what I'm hearing is this is happening in language now, meaning ELA. It's happening in reading now, that the parents have no idea how to teach their kids to do their homework. The definition of homework, Ed, can you define homework for me as an educator?
Well, the idea of homework is to get practice, you know, to get a better understanding of what you're, you know, the concepts being taught in class. So, you know, obviously, homework shouldn't require beyond. As far as I'm concerned, shouldn't require the parents' involvement except maybe making sure you're doing it. You know, so it should be something that's fairly, you know, understood, and the kid, you know, plugs away at it until they get it. And with all the resources that kids have, that shouldn't be too much of a problem. But right now, you know, that this Common Core nonsense, if the districts that have that, it's impossible for anybody to understand that, let alone having a parent come home from work tired and expected to teach some concepts in a way that they've never been taught, that no one in their right mind should ever teach in that strategy.
And Lee, another big thing that's happening is the load of homework. It used to be we had certain minutes for each student that they had to do. So if you're in kindergarten, you have 15 minutes. If you're in first grade, you might have 30 minutes. In second grade, 45. And it just goes up, you know, to certain things. But now some of these first graders are sitting for 1 hour or 2 hours doing homework. And it was fine if it's practicing a skill, but this is just busy work that is stuff that the teacher couldn't finish in class or doesn't want to cover. I want to uncover this because I just did a Google search on my topic, Lee, and I have not seen anything like this of me speaking out. Our parent, and now I'll go that question to Ed, but what is your thought on what I've been saying?
Well, in my situation, the biggest problem that I saw, that I had, and many of my teachers, again, I was a shop teacher, and we did have to give the kids homework. But I don't know if it's inner city stuff. I can't believe it's just all inner city, and it's definitely not all kids. But most of the kids would not do it, and they didn't have to do it. And like I just said a few minutes ago, they're geared from kindergarten right up to the time they go to graduate. They know they don't have to do anything. They're going to pass. They're going to graduate. And then even the parents, I mean, unfortunately, many of them don't even have a high school diploma or let alone speak English. So they couldn't even help the child to do homework. So the kid just learns that they don't have to do it. So I come from a different background where it just didn't matter.
And now, you're right, there are certain schools, the kids don't even take their books home. So there are such differences in school districts, but certain school districts see these high stake tests and they're forcing the parents to teach them to do well on the PSSAs, which are state exams. It's the parents' job to study with them. Well, it doesn't really teach our kids to be successful, Ed. It doesn't teach them to do well on the ACT and SAT, right, Ed? These state exams.
Well, yeah, you get to the point where these in particular schools that have their own state exams, they, you know, the teachers are given curriculum, especially if they live in the big city, that the school district heads, they go and they sit in these meetings where these people are designing the test. They tell them what's going to be on the test effectively, and they go back and they have curriculum guides that teach to the test. So that doesn't help the student become well-rounded. It helps them be good at taking a particular test. So yeah, that test, they might be good at that test, but that doesn't mean they're going to be ready for the ACT or the SAT or any other national test.
That's going to prepare to say, this is the preparation for college. And so this is my thought in all this, is the frustration. Why have we gone this direction? I mean, I remember teaching in fourth grade, if I dare send home a math assignment where half the kids or three quarters of the kids couldn't do it, my phone would be, I would have emails and phone calls and the principal would be calling me in the office the next day. I wouldn't hear it for days. I understand what Lee deals with, where they don't even do homework, but when you're looking in affluent areas, parents would be going ballistic at that teacher. What are you doing? Why are you making me teach my son? I pay you, especially when you're thinking of a Catholic school, I pay you to instruct my student. So why did we become teachers? We didn't become teachers, we become facilitators. And so I think, Ed and Lee, this is something to bring up, and we need to find some of these great experts and grill them and hear what they're saying and say, what evidence or research are you showing? Our kids are getting dumber, not smarter, and we're teaching them more difficult concepts than they could do before. So that's my biggest frustration in all this, Lee. And Lee, what about you? You're in a different position, but once you left the teaching business, you really started to look at what's going on in education as a whole. How can we fix public education?
I still in contact with many people in the same school I worked with, as well as others that are in the district. But to get back to the testing and all that, even when I was there, and they're still doing it now, that the kids' curriculum, even their classes, is geared to taking the state exam. And if they think a kid is not going to pass that exam, they come up with all sorts of excuses where the kid or the child is exempt from taking that. And sometimes, and they did this, they did this the last 2 years I worked, where they would modify the kid's schedule. They would take them out of the first three or four periods of their class, put them in a special class that was geared to take to test. Then once the test was over, then he went back to the regular class, and the teachers were not to mark them absent or any of this stuff. It's just, it is geared to pass the test to make the district and the school look good. It's not about the child.
So when you talk about, like, the region's exam, that's the most challenging exam out there, the state of New York. Now, you're in New Jersey, so you didn't have to deal with regions. Okay, oh, sorry about that, remembering you're in New Jersey.
No.
So the regions is much more difficult.
Okay. That's okay.
That's much more difficult than New Jersey, right? State exams?
I think so, yeah.
But still, why are we doing this? I mean, so we're teaching to a test, but the thing that's happening is that parents were becoming very frustrated. And Ed, I did a Google search. So let's hear from, when we get back from this break, let's see what Facebook has to say with my controversial topic. You're listening to Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. And we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT. We'll get back more with Ed Temple and Lee McNulty and myself, Neil Haley. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. And we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT. Having two cups of coffee before 10 o'clock, good idea. I love it. I have the energy. I'm exhausted from this week, but I know, hey, I got to keep going, and I got to keep it exciting and not go into some of these boring articles that are out there. And Ed, I did a complete search, right? I searched the internet with my question, primary teacher parents. Nothing came up except parent teacher conferences. So am I exposing something, Ed? And then I want to hear from Facebook. Do you think I'm exposing something that teachers don't want to really bring up in certain districts, that they're really forcing their parents to teach the kids?
Yeah, I think what you're hearing from Lee, and you would hear from myself when I taught in the public school, that the majority, you know, there's a lot of issues going on with homework and the affluent areas. You got, obviously, if they're trying to get their parents to help them with doing their homework, there's an issue, because right now, as you mentioned the word facilitator. That's precisely the language they use right now when they take teachers to teacher training. They learn two things. One, that unless you're a minority, you are a born racist and you can't teach the kids.
Oh, geez.
And the second thing they teach you is that, and that's, and you think I'm playing, I'm dead serious. That's exactly what they teach them. They're teaching it right now in the big cities. And the second thing they teach them is that you are no longer a teacher. You are a facilitator. You're like a coach. You're not supposed to teach them. You're supposed to encourage them. So that's the new methodology.
I find that funny in so many ways, that word facilitator. We're going to talk about that before the show ends. So what have we heard from Facebook? Anyone comment?
Yeah, I do have one comment from Mr. Kennedy. He's a teacher, and he said the reason why they focus on the tests are because school success is based on testing. In other words, at least the perception of a good school is that in which has good test results.
So we definitely want,
well,
and I agree, but I'm waiting on that just topic. Now, when you heard this topic, you really, even though I think parents are afraid to speak out because they think that teachers are going to sabotage their kids' grades. I think that parents are, they kind of, this is more,
are
this.
You saying teachers are afraid to speak out? Or
no,
parents.
Parents are afraid to go to the media and speak out on how they're being forced to teach their kids in homework. And they're afraid and that. Go ahead. What'd you think, Lee?
Geez, I don't know anything about that. Like I said, I know of two parents in particular. They have young children. And they have spoke out, and you know, and they're considered, I guess, the guidance counselors and the principals, and even some of the teachers consider them pains in the rear ends. And one in particular I'm very close with, she asked me, she says, Lee, am I doing something wrong? I said, absolutely
no,
not.
No.
I said, me as a teacher, I said, I would find you refreshing that you care, because most
yes,
of the parents
sir,
that
we understand.
Didn't care.
Right.
But when a parent would call up and say, what's going on here? I found that extremely refreshing.
Now, see, Lee, I'm saying, yes, they talk to the administrators. They don't go to the media. They don't go to the media unless the media ignores. We're
no,
not having
it. Just like teachers,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Just like teachers, they are also afraid that, well, you know what, my son's a junior, my son's a senior, they could do something to my son and he won't graduate.
Exactly.
And then, or he's got an, or he or she may have an opportunity to go to college and may foul up their chances of going to college or getting a scholarship. Yeah, that part is absolutely true. Everybody's afraid to go to the media today of some sort.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyberstation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archived CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Oh, well, see, and
that, about that.
So I dare my kids' teachers to try to go after my kids. I will crush you. I will destroy you. I will destroy the district, and I will destroy you, flat out. So go to war on me. And parents, you want me to be the loudspeaker? Just tell me right now. Because honestly, that's what I took. My wife says, are you kidding me? When I go in as an educational advocate, I go in guns a-blazing, meaning I am not going to put up with any crap. But I'm going to be very nice. I'm going to explain things, but I'm not going to be told what to do. And then when it comes to my children's education, if you dare cause any trouble, I'm going to make a huge mess. I will mess up the SEO of the school, give the worst PR possible for you, because I know how important it is. And I will continue to speak out.
Can I jump in for a second?
Yes, Lee.
What you're absolutely correct, but again, where I work in the inner city, unfortunately, and I'm not saying anything negative, a lot of parents can't do that because they're illegal immigrants.
That's true. That's why I have to be the loudmouth for all parents. I understand that. This is a really we're not covering education in the right way for one reason. We're afraid. We'll scapegoat a parent that did something crazy, like, you know, lock a kid in the car and they die. We'll go or a parent who did something just really awful and they had to call CYF. Or we'll go after a teacher that had sex with an underage kid or stole or did something, and we'll ostracize them. But when we talk about the average everyday things that go on in our schools, Lee, we're afraid to talk about it because of repercussions, because of that kid's not going to get in a certain school. They're not going to get a certain teacher recommendation, which it sounds like me, it's socialism and communism, Lee. Really, because if parents are afraid to speak out.
You're right.
I mean, so.
You're absolutely correct. and again, if you go on to a YouTube thing about anything about education, and you look to the right where you could pick this video or the next video, there are literally thousands, I'm saying thousands, maybe tens of thousands of teachers who retired, even students who quit, all because of what you and Ed and I are talking about.
Right, exactly. So,
there's a teacher on here that made another comment. He said that schools want students to do bad when they take state tests at the beginning of the year so that they can show improvement at the end of the year.
Wow. So that's why the beginning of the year, they struggle so much with review. That's why they start out in math with rounding. What the heck is rounding, Ed? Ed, seriously, if we rounded our budgets, let's estimate the budget, okay? I'm going to estimate how much I need for next month. Let me round it to this, maybe a little bit over. Let's go to the nearest 1,000, but you know, we'll do special types of estimation. And I'm sure I'll be fine, right, Ed? I won't bounce any checks, right? I won't do certain things if I estimate my budget. It's the biggest joke in the world. We make these rounding rules and all these different things and review at the beginning of the year. And I wonder if you're right. It's to show that they don't score well on these stupid standardized tests at the beginning of the year. So they show improvement, Ed. Another conspiracy.
It may not be such a conspiracy. I know I didn't do this on purpose, but yeah, there's an incentive plan called AYP, Annual Yearly Progress, and they pay bonuses to teachers and administrators for certain percentage of a pre-agreed upon number of improvement. So you might improve 3%. They do poorly on the first exam and then they take the exam at the end of the year and they go up 3%. It could be thousands of dollars of income. So there is definitely some truth to that.
There's also what they also do with that by taking the test the first time and see the children that did not do well. Just like I said before, they will not take the test the second time. They will come up with some sort of other program that they're exempt from taking it. So instead of saying just using an arbitrary number, saying you have 100 students taking the test in the first time and 80 did well. Well, now the other 20, they'll move some of them out of there. And it, bottom line, it's to change the percentages. They may not have really increased the percentages that do well. The percentages change because there'll be less children taking that test. They modify the kids taking the test.
So let's define teacher as facilitator on good old Google, because maybe that's the reason. We want teachers to be facilitators, though, so that they don't, you know, they aren't a leader anymore. They're just supposed to say, hey, here's all the great information that's out there. I think I have a clue of how to do it. That's a facilitator. So if we had bosses as facilitators, what a joke that would be. There's no directions. Go ahead and do what you want to do. But honestly, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing this happen in the business world today, that leaders are now facilitators and they don't set specific standards and goals for their staff. So it's willy-nilly the whole time. So maybe we're infiltrating the whole environment with facilitator. What do you think about that, Lee?
I don't even really know what to say. I find, like I said earlier, I'm finding that the public education system is really a joke. It's what they did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, worked. I don't know what they're doing by playing all these games and adding all this other nonsense to it. It's not about education anymore. It is strictly not about education. It's about, again, making the school look good. I can't think of the word I want to say. It's just a joke.
Okay, here's a great teachers as facilitators definition. When students ask questions and find answers for themselves. Well, we do this on the Total Education Hour, Ed. I come up with opinions, so I find answers for myself. They get involved in their own learning. This means shifting roles from a lecturer to a facilitator who provides resources, monitors progress, and encourages students to problem solve. By giving it to the parents who get so frustrated, they want to pull their hair out, rip the paper up, and scream at Johnny and Susie at the end of the day. That is the end of the definition right there. Ed, what do you think of that, how I added that little part to the definition?
Well, you mean about the...
teacher facilitator.
Not able to scream and yell at John anymore?
No, we are allowed to. No. That the parents have to. So basically, we use this way that kids figure it out for themselves. Then a 7-year-old says, right, what did you learn in school today? I was on the playground. I don't remember. And the teacher just said, we're in groups and we try to figure it out. Here's the funniest teacher facilitator activity. This happened in a pre-calculus class. And I have to bring this up. One of my students, I was tutoring in pre-calculus. Her grade went up at the end, so I was happy to see that improvement. But she told me that the teacher assigned an assignment where they have the kids working in groups of four with only one pencil. What do you think of that one, Lee? Why don't you do a shop and you'll give one only one hammer to build a whole... I'm sure that they'd be fighting over the hammer in your class, right?
Well, yes and no. Again, I had so many students that they just didn't want to do anything. They didn't have to do anything.
Right, we understand.
I was always beating my head against the wall.
Okay, so you'd rather give them one hammer. But what do you think of that? I'm sure in class tomorrow, and when you instruct math, you're going to get them into groups because cooperative learning works so well. I'm telling you, I'm throwing out everything. And this is not a conservative point of view. This is pure research by me who's been in the education field for over 20 years. 10 years as a teacher and 10 years after that as a consultant in education and nationally syndicated radio education host. So what do you think of the whole process of you're going to do a math problem and give one kid a pencil with four kids in a group? I'm sure you've done that assignment all the time.
Well, kids need to, I got to be honest with you. Kids are so used to trying to just guess, or I catch kids all the time just looking answer. They get their phones out after you tell them 50,000 times, get their phone away, but they go online, they go to PhotoMath, all these different sites to just get an answer and would rather not have a piece of paper out and, you know, work it out. They're so used to just guessing.
All right.
Has taught them that, you know.
For sure. When we get back, I want to continue this conversation. Where am I going before I close it off? I like where we're going. We were supposed to go only a certain amount of time but if it's my show, I can do whatever I want to do. That's the other thing. You know, if I just said I'll try to figure it out for myself instead of learning from the best, improving and developing my craft and asking people questions and working with the best talent in America in the last 10 years, I can do what I want to do. That's why I'm my own show. And it's not my own podcast where one, you know, only like that people are listening and one link. You find me everywhere. You're listening to Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, and we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT. When we get back, I want to know what you're thinking. We defined what teacher facilitators do. Let's see some strategies that teachers and facilitators do. I think we've already figured out it's the facilitator. If I would walk into a classroom today and substitute teach, maybe at one point in time I'll have to do that as a investigative journalism, record the entire thing and put it on television. I'm sure I'd get in trouble, but maybe we got to find a way to do an investigative report. So I'm continuing with my complaints on the Total Education Hour. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Hour at 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, and we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT. No Jason the Public School Guy, no Jarrett, and I am attacking the teacher as a facilitator. Here's another point. Jason the Public School Guy says, well, I go to these great in-services where they teach me how I should teach today's kid, and this is how I should teach them. And that I shouldn't be lecturing anymore because lecturing doesn't work. I need to really become that facilitator. You know what I think of facilitators is ridiculous. Let's define. I should just define facilitator without teacher. Who's a facilitator? What's the definition of a facilitator? Let's see if Lee knows. Lee, what do you think the definition of a facilitator is?
It's just to guide them into doing the work on their own. That's basically what it is. You Yeah, so, for example,
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
Go ahead, Lee.
Go.
It's basically to give them an assignment. They have a criteria and let them to go about their own and try to solve the problem or the situation themselves. That's all it is. You know, if they need something or a book or something, they may ask you to get something. But you're just to guide them and watch them how they think and go about to try to solve a problem or a project.
Now, Ed, I got a great idea. Because teachers and facilitators have worked so well. Let's make police officers facilitators. Let's make doctors facilitators, right? You know, figure out for yourself how you can hear your health. Let's make airplane pilots facilitators, okay? Let's make engineers facilitators so that they have to figure it out. So I'm going to give the definition next, but am I right or wrong? As a professional, as educators, we are the experts. If we're not an expert in our subject matter, that's not a facilitator does not mean expert, Ed.
No, it implies that you're not really there to, you know, the whole mindset is that we're not supposed to be, you know, it's minimizing the role of the teachers, what you're really doing. You're saying that the
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' pages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Kid, you know, it's kind of like right now there's a lady I take a class with, and she says at her school they only call them by their first name. So this is the mindset now, you know, that you're supposed to be, you know, lowering yourself to basically not even be there, to not be needed, you know. So just let the kids roll, let them do what they want.
All right, here's the definition of facilitator. It's pretty weak, okay? Someone who helped, this is from Merriam-Webster's Dictionary online. Someone who helps to bring about an outcome, such as learning, productivity, or communication, by providing indirect, unobtrusive assistance, guidance, or supervision. Are you kidding me, Lee? That's the definition of a facilitator.
It's basically what I just said. Yeah, that's basically what I said. It's just that there's an assignment, and you're just watching and making see what the kids are doing. It's a joke. It's really all a joke.
You get a gold star for that, Lee.
There you go.
Give that gold star or that Now, okay, Ed, when someone scores 100%, are you pulling out your stickers? Or your 90s? Have you ever seen Matt?
Believe it or not, they'd like those.
Do you use stickers?
I don't have any stickers.
How about stamps?
I don't have any. Let me tell you something. They would love to get them, believe me.
Or give them a special trophy. So the other problem the other problem with the facilitator is I don't think, and I know I don't know when we talk about Dr. Henry Wu or first days of school, Doctor, and it'll come to me. It's not Wu, but whoever it is, Henry Wong, first days of school. I don't think that Wong really pushed Lee. Do you remember him that wrote the book First Days of School?
No, I do not.
How about you, Ed?
I don't.
I think I've heard of the book, but I didn't read it.
Well, it's a really good book. It really prepares, but really, they were never a facilitator. They really had, you have to set rules and expectations. That's not a facilitator, okay? You have to have a specific plan and lesson to meet objectives. A facilitator does not meet objectives. I'm just very disappointed, but I guess we figured out through my uncovering tonight's subject that the job of a teacher now is for them to figure it out for themselves, have no accountability for your actions, let the kids learn the way they want to learn, and let them figure it out for themselves. So what do I say to that? Why are we employing teachers? Except in private schools, like Ed's. Can't knock Ed and get him out of job unless he wants to come full-time with me. And we can run the show of radio all over the world and have a road show.
Yep.
Why in tarnation are we going to employ teachers? Why? If the kids are figuring it out for themselves, why can't we just do the Montessori way and just have them at home? Except the inner city kids. Sorry to say this, that the parents don't care about education. We go and feed them, have a charter school, have a specific sun up to sundown program that the parents are pretty much not involved and the kids learn, which has been proven through charter schools. So what do you think of that, Lee? Why in these affluent schools or schools where the parents are very involved should we even have teachers because the parents can teach them if that's what we're going to do by having a facilitator in the classroom?
I have to agree. And then the next thing they want to do is they want more money the next year. They want to raise the income for the school district. I mean, what is the point? I mean, what do you need?
See, here's the situation.
Maybe the reason why they're doing it.
Yeah, go ahead, Ed.
Maybe they're doing it because the teachers can't figure out how to teach the Common Core. So they said, you know what? We'll just let the parents try to teach it because we don't know what the heck's going on with the Common Core.
Okay, so what we need to ask is Secretary Betsy DeVos, come on this show. Ed, you need to have us have an interview with her and really sit down and see if you've asked her already. Okay. What does she say? Absolutely.
Well, I've sent her many. Go ahead. I haven't gotten a response.
And just tell her, do you know who my producer is? One of the biggest. I'm just playing with you. I'll get in trouble on this show if I keep going that route. Like I said, say we're friends with Bill Ayers. You know who Bill Ayers is, right, Lee?
No, I do not.
William Ayers, Weather Underground.
Yeah.
He's a great. Agree with him in education. He's a top. He wouldn't think a teacher's facilitator is wrong. I don't think that that Bill Ayers would like this facilitator atmosphere, Ed. I don't think that the teacher's willy-nilly and that there's not high expectations and high standards that I think that Bill Ayers believes they should have. I mean, if you'll have to listen to my interview on the Total Education Hour with him, because I don't think he would think like this. I hope he wouldn't, because it doesn't work. It's been proven not to work.
You're right. There's a difference between having giving kids a chance to learn on their own and totally pulling back and letting them be on their own totally. So it's a big difference in mindset.
Okay, so facilitator. Who are the best facilitators, Lee? And this is the good way to end the show. Define the best facilitators.
Look,
if you had an organization, who would be the facilitator?
Jeez, I have no idea. I couldn't even answer that.
How about you, Ed?
Well, a facilitator in an organization would be maybe like a liaison or, you know, if you're at a school, maybe a parent liaison that works between the school and the other parents. But that's a facilitator, someone that makes everybody's lives easier.
If you're defining facilitator in organizations, they're the head of facilities, and they run not the people. They run, because think of facilities. They run the security. They run the basic water. They run the civil part of the organization. They don't run the team. They don't run the sales team. They don't run the marketing team. They don't run the higher ups. They run the specific non-human qualities. That's facilities director. So we want our teacher to be somebody that can run a faucet, can run specifically floors, can run security cameras. That's who we want as a facilitator. And we're having a teacher who, if we look and define teachers, ladies and gentlemen, the best corporate trainers are the most important people who train other people in professional organizations and have a great training team, have the most successful organizations in the world today, and it's teaching. And they're not facilitators. They have specific goals and expectations. They explain things. They don't. So there you go, Lee. Let's say you get hired at Google tomorrow. We're going to go and sit down and say, okay, you're going to run something in Google. Can you, if you're a facilitator, say, you know, John, I'm glad to hire you in Google. Go figure it out for yourself now. Lee, I don't think that would work. Would it?
No, not at all.
So a facilitator is really a facilities manager that runs the facilities. And so facilitator also goes to facility, and facility is not human. So, Lee, Ed, did I get any more comments as we're about to close tonight's show? But I just had to have that closing argument of why parents have to become the teacher, because a facilitator is a joke.
Yeah. That's the last comment we had was about the improvement scores at the end of the year is why they dummied down what the kids are learning, or at least they don't emphasize it until the second half of the year.
Okay, so that's it. We figured it out. We solved something this week. We'll solve something else. I'm upset with my kids next week because, again, I'm becoming the undercover boss who I've decided to take on as the expert educator all of my kids' homework and take it off of my wife's hands, who's a teacher as well. When I'm doing it, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor, is back in action with his kids, and they're to try to get the performance better because of ultimately and being frustrated in what I'm seeing. So appreciate, Lee, you coming by. Thanks again for stopping by, and Ed. And I think Lee and Ed are probably like, this is not the Neil Haley that interviews us. When he gets this show, he gets fired up and ready to go. And two cups of coffee definitely did that for me tonight. So take care, guys, and appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. You're listening to Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, and we'll be back in just a moment. What a great show tonight on the Total Education Hour. When you talk about parent involvement, and you talk about specifically enough the forcing of parent involvement in a way where parents aren't equipped to do things like this, they don't have the ability to instruct. They have the ability to tutor. They have the ability to help, but they sure as heck do not, most of them, have the ability to teach. It's an art. And to teach a lesson for the first time is ridiculous. That's the job of the teacher. And that was one of my biggest things about having this segment today on the Total Education Hour, is that reason alone. It's the job of the teacher. It's not the job of a parent. I mean, myself, I can handle this, but I'm a certified teacher. I'm a trained professional teacher. That's a totally different game than somebody else who is not certified, who is not trained, does not know how to instruct. There are specific things to identify when you work with your own child. You have to identify what their knowledge base is going in. You have to assess them throughout the process. So that's my frustration. And after the conversation, it sounds like more and more. This is a secret that's out there right now, ladies and gentlemen, that they don't want to come out. They don't want something like this to come out.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.